7:14, Monday is President's Day. We'll talk more about that later, I guess.
Yeah.
Brian and College Station kiddos out of school.
This is one of those confusing holidays, because some people get this holiday and some people don't. And so, you know, it's kind of a door rattler. I think county offices are open, but the federal offices are closed.
Yeah, counties counties open because they have their two courts with cases today.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's kind of a strange mix of stuff out there, but...
Did you watch our favorite show yesterday, the Sunday morning show?
Oh, Sunday morning show. I think so.
Yeah.
Why?
They had throughout the thing, they had little presidential type nuggets and stuff
Did. Yeah.
And
the
interesting one, I thought, since it's President's Day, was Warren G. Harding, you know, who's known to have one of the most corrupt administrations in history. But they evidently didn't know all of his corruption until after he died.
Right.
They thought he was just a fine president up until then. But
and he died in office. Did he not?
He did.
Yes, he did. His grandson is still alive.
No.
No, that's who they interviewed, was Warren G. Harding's grandson.
Wrong. John Tyler's
grandson.
Excuse
me. I'm so sorry. John Tyler. Excuse
me. We did that story if you remember.
That was before I left.
Yeah. What a dummy I am. I'm sorry. Yeah, John Tyler.
Which is really even more amazing.
Yeah, because John Tyler was born the year after George Washington took office.
Yeah.
And this guy, Tyler's grandson, is still alive. Evidently, Tyler's son had this guy when he was in his 70s. 75 years old.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. They also did a thing on Harding. I was getting it mixed up.
As the now living grandson's wife said, those were not first wives.
yeah, and she's the original.
Anyway,
but it was good. Yeah, sorry, John Tyler.
So let's talk about what's really important, and that is Maxim Online has given us a list of the 8 historical contenders for hardest partying president. Okay, so I mean, because let's talk. I mean, we can talk about, you know, great presidents and Mount Rushmore. Let's talk
hardest
about
partying president.
Partying down.
In public or private?
Partying down. Martin Van Buren. Martin Van Buren.
He was a party animal, wasn't he?
He developed gout after drinking too much bourbon. So there you go.
Yikes.
Yeah. Franklin Pierce, who announced upon leaving office that he had nothing left to do but get drunk. Now, story about Franklin Pierce. As he was riding the train to his inauguration, there was a train wreck that killed his only son. Now, think about that for a minute. That your child died in a train wreck as you are headed to D.C. to become the president of the United States. So I could understand where he might say, I got nothing else to do.
Right.
James Buchanan, another victim of gout. That must have been big back then.
He was the bachelor president.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah, several bottles of rye. He'd knock those down and brandy all at the same time. And every
made
a trip every Sunday to pick
literally,
up a case.
Literally, good night. I mean,
every Sunday he made a trip to pick up a case of whiskey.
And they had gout? Is that what they had?
Yeah, exactly.
Gout would be the least of your concerns.
I would think so,
Well, that deadens the pain. I mean, gout means your big toe hurts.
Well, I think, your joints. It's a
collection of uric acid in your... Yeah.
Right. But I think it
your big toe.
No, I mean, that's where...
That's the only place it hurts. If it hurts anywhere else, it ain't gout.
No, that is where it shows up, is in your big toe.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
other places, too.
It's other places, too. It happened to be... You happen to have big toe gout.
Oh, you had turby gout. That's what you had. I see.
If you look up gout...
Yeah.
Look up gout.
It's going to have a picture of your toe?
No. Look up gout, and you'll see that the main place that it shows up is in your big toe. Okay. That's where the pain shows up.
We got 3 people who are not doctors talking about gout.
But how many of you all had gout?
No.
You got two talking about gout and one just making fun of somebody that suffered from it.
So. I'm in there raising my hand. I'm in here raising,
you raising your hand or your toe?
I had gout.
Did you carry around that jug of green liquid like the guy in the commercial?
No, that's gross.
That's gross?
We're
talking about feet, and that's gross, huh? Because that's probably just water with dye in it. So.
Okay.
All right. Anyway.
Continuing with hard party in presidents, Chester A. Arthur.
He had those walrus chops working.
Yeah, wouldn't move into the White House until months after being inaugurated because he didn't like the decor, and then he auctioned off numerous pieces of priceless antique furniture for the place, apparently while he was under the influence. Grover Cleveland. Man.
Ma, where's my pa?
Yeah, would have taken a lot for him, though, if you'll...
He's a big old boy.
Yeah, he was. Probably would be considered a felon in modern times after he crashed his carriage while drinking and wound up killing his law partner in the accident. FDR liked to down a mixture of dark rum, brown sugar, orange juice, and an egg white. His son said he especially enjoyed the result after serving the concoction to his lady friends.
Okay. I bet.
Yeah. Ha, that's a, whoo, that does sound sugary. And, of course, there's Richard Nixon.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. Richard, in fact, the story that finally came out after his death, I believe, is that one night he refused to take a call from Henry Kissinger because he was too out of it to talk business.
What about Mr. Kennedy?
Well, they don't.
He was well-known carouser.
Well, he caroused some. He was on pain meds too, though.
Yeah, but you know, he mixed that with Marilyn Monroe. So that was.
Yeah. That's just the one you know about.
Yeah, take two and call me in the morning.
Yeah. That's the one
well,
you know
and
about.
I believe it was about the day I left. Mixed it with a teenage girl that he may have sired a child.
Well,
with,
I don't know about that, but I know that it was a teenage girl. As a matter of fact, more story, and that's why it's interesting because Louisville has. Hosted a conference on presidential scholars, did it a couple of years ago, to assess the worst presidential blunders in U.S. American history. And the worst blunders, see, that's the thing. The worst blunders end up being like James Buchanan, who didn't stop the Civil War. It's South Carolina seceded from the Union during his presidency, and he didn't do anything to stop it. So that's a pretty big one. And Andrew Johnson siding with the Southern whites, opposing improvements in justice for Southern blacks. That was in there. Lyndon Johnson allowing the Vietnam War to escalate. But you got to go down the list, and then you find Bill Clinton and the aforementioned Jack Kennedy doesn't even show up on the list.
Golly.
Yeah, what about Bill Clinton letting Bin Laden get out of the crosshairs?
Well, that too. Didn't mention that. They were talking about moniker. And by the way, I think PBS is going to be doing a 2-hour or 4-hour documentary on that.
On
Bill Clinton and well, just the Clinton years. And so, of course, that will continue to put Monica in there.
In the crosshairs.
Don't know what Monica's doing these days, but nonetheless. Let's see what else.
Well, she's on a treadmill, I hope.
Yeah. Now, that was nice.
Wow.
Only two U.S. Americans.
She had some girth. I mean, let's not ignore the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
You hear what I did there?
I heard that. Yeah. Only two U.S. American presidents had middle names that are the same as the last names of former presidents. That'd be Ronald Wilson Reagan and William Jefferson Clinton.
How about that?
George Washington's salary as president was $25,000. Okay.
Yeah.
The president now pulls down $400,000. And you know what? Washington stayed home, too. You know, he pretty much stayed on the job.
Did he? Well, where was he going to go?
Yeah. I mean,
Mount
Vernon was just down the road.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know, you get in that boat, wait for the photographer.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Y'all look pitiful.
That's right. Come on, let me up at the front of the boat. I need to stand up there in the front of the boat.
Oh, by the way, in addition, there's the $50,000 annual expense account, $100,000 non-taxable travel account, and $19,000 for entertainment expenses. So
today?
Oh,
God.
$19,000 for entertainment, huh?
Yeah. I think I'm betting there's an overage there.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah. I bet Grover Cleveland would have gone over it, too.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. All right, so most valuable autograph. Which president has the most valuable autograph? If you think about it, it's not too difficult.
That'd be William Henry Harrison.
Of course.
Oh,
yeah.
Henry Harrison.
Signature penned while not in office is worth $1,000. The other thing we found out yesterday, Chase, in this story was that William Henry Harrison's wife never got into the White House. She was still packing back home. So he's president and dies before she can even get the stuff packed.
That's right.
So she's just hanging out at the house going, okay. Anyway, so William Henry Harrison, while not in office, worth about $1,000. But since he was only in office for 31 days, there were fewer than 50 documents that he signed during his presidency. That are known to exist, and each one of those valued at $70,000. Behind Harrison's John Hancock, if you will, in value, in order, would be George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, and John Adams. The ultimate value, obviously, of presidential paper is determined by three things: the rarity, then the popularity or historical writing, and the condition. But we know that because we watch Pawn Stars. That's when they teach us that. That's why we watch that, so we can learn that kind of thing.
Yeah. WC.